Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go. Hour number 3 on a Friday. Don't forget Jason McIntyre in 45 minutes with his NFL picks. He was crazy good last week. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, right here on FS1. Good Fox games this weekend. Very excited. By the way, the ratings, NFL, flying through the roof. There's good storylines. You got the whole Green Bay thing and the Stafford thing and Russell Wilson. There's a lot of stuff going on.
There's a lot of
good stories.
Play, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of good
it's
play.
Really like not that.
I mean, Joy, you start looking at these completion percentages. I was just looking at this. Hold on. Well, this one made me laugh. Teddy Bridgewater's completing 75% or better and 100-plus passer rating in every game.
Yeah.
Okay, when Joe Namath. Broadway Joe completed 50% of his passes. I mean, like, and Teddy Bridgewater is certainly good, but like Kirk Cousins now has had a passer rating over 90 longer than anybody in the history of mankind except Peyton Manning. Like, the game now is so offensive minded that
They're soft.
By the way, last night we're watching cruddy teams, but the quarterbacks.
It was a great game.
Great game because the quarterbacks are not getting crushed.
Exactly.
So much fun. Well, let's talk about that. The Bengals, it was fun. I loved it. Overcame a halftime deficit, took down the Jags last second field goal. And I know neither of these teams are any good, but as I watched Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, it reminded me of an old personal story. 30 years ago, I am driving in the desert between Los Angeles and Vegas. And there's a town called Baker, California. It's known for having this gigantic temperature because it gets to be 120 degrees. It's probably like Death Valley. It's one of the hottest places in America. And there's a restaurant. There's a few restaurants, but there's no real homes, four or five homes. And so I go to get some food, and there was a restaurant with some picnic tables, and it was connected to like a home. Obviously, the people lived in the back and the restaurant in the front. And as I'm sitting there by myself driving from, I don't even know if I was going Vegas to L.A. or L.A. to Vegas, there was a little girl playing in the sand behind the house or outside the house. And by herself in the sand. And it was like 100. And I remember thinking, it really stuck with me. I was kind of overwhelmed at the time thinking, man, that girl doesn't have a chance. Like my life wasn't perfect, but you know, my dad was a doctor. He was smart. My mom was an honor student and I went through a bunch of divorces, but that's pretty good DNA. I got pretty lucky. Right. And I had a good supportive sister and lived in a nice house, good high school football, basketball coaches, very supportive, good friends. And I looked at that little girl and I thought to myself, no matter how great she is, boy, what a ceiling that is. She's got no friends, middle of nowhere. And I wrote about this in one of the books I wrote. I think it was the first that it just stuck with me that, you know, I have empathy for people who just don't get a fair start. And I watched Joe Burrow last night. And I mean, the Bengals and the Jags are not good teams. It's almost, you look at the stats this morning, first downs, third down efficiency, total plays, turnovers, possession. It's just, it's two totally average teams. And the difference was Joe Burrow. He's really good. I don't want to be hyperbolic, but boy, he's got some Joe Montana. He's just smooth and throws the ball. It's so pretty and so accurate. He's got such control. He can audible. And I thought to myself, it's not a coincidence. The two greatest winningest quarterbacks in my life are Joe Montana. He had Bill Walsh and Tom Brady. He had Bill Belichick. The Bengals don't even have a general manager. Their 86-year-old owner, Mike Brown's one of the big meddlers in the league. They don't have a GM. They're cheap. They don't make any trades on draft day. He's going to have to absolutely overcome this franchise. And I watched it and I thought, oh, God, he's good. What traits he has. You know, and it's almost perfect. He's got a good arm, but it's not too good like Favre, so he becomes reliant on it. and isn't as coachable. He can move, but he's not too fast like Michael Vick, who would admit he didn't work hard in his game initially because he could always escape. He has just enough of an arm and just enough athletic ability. Oh, he's so good. He's so good. I mean, I thought he was going to be Tony Romo. He's better. He may be a lot better. But I sat there and I thought, you know, we're all worried about Trevor Lawrence. They got a really rich owner who's going to spend a lot of money. I don't worry about Trevor Lawrence, whether it's Urban or somebody else. But I sat there and I watched Joe Burrow. He's already had one severe injury. Why? They couldn't protect him. And I sit there and I just think to myself, it is not a coincidence that the GOAT, the first GOAT, was Montana with the best offensive coach ever. And the second GOAT to replace him, the better GOAT, was Brady with the best defensive coach. Those are the two best coaches ever. And you just watch Burrow and his temperament and his ball placement and his accuracy and his mobility. Man, maybe I'm just gushing over him because I have a DM relationship with him. But I'm telling you, man, that guy, he is so smooth. And I hope they hire eventually a GM. I hope Zach Taylor's good. I mean, he's clearly not Sean McVay dynamic, but he's not Freddie Kitchens overwhelmed. But I just sat there and thought, oh, please give this kid support. Please give him a shot. Here's Joe Burrow after.
Yeah, there was no panic in the locker room. We knew we didn't play great in the first half. You know, it is what it is, but, you know, we had all the faith in the world that we were going to come out and play really well in the second half. And, you know, we've been a second-half team. We're going to have to get that fixed. We're going to have to play better in the first half on offense. But, you know, I'm proud of the way we fought back.
Where you land in life and sports is about 75% of the equation. Bad parents, hard to overcome. Middle of nowhere, hard to overcome. Crazy parents, hard to overcome. No general manager, hard to overcome. All right, so Belichick, Brady this weekend. In the Seth Wickersham book, and I've read all the books, the Ian O'Connor book was great. Jeff Benedict book was great in the Dynasty. There's one thing in the book that is getting overplayed totally and one thing that's getting underplayed totally. I'll get to the underplayed thing later. The one part of the book that's being overplayed, and Belichick touched on it briefly yesterday, is this idea that Brady tried to meet with Belichick to tell him he was leaving, and instead they just had a phone call. Who cares? If somebody's going to dump me, I should have the choice how I receive it. Text, Instagram, in person. You're dumping me anyway. What does it matter? First of all, it's quite possible on March 17th, that was the day Brady made the official decision, that Bill Belichick wasn't in New England anyway. That's off season. Belichick scoots down to Florida every February and March, and a little bit maybe to golf in July. But it doesn't really matter. Tom Brady was leaving. If you read the book, he made a decision after his last contract with New England. In fact, Seth Wickersham was on FS1 this morning, and Brady really made the decision long before that potential in-person meeting with Belichick. Here's Seth Wickersham.
It definitely hovered over the team and Bill and Brady in August of 2019 when they were trying to negotiate a contract, and Brady considered leaving training camp in protest because he was so frustrated over how things were going. And anyone who thought that Tom Brady might remain a New England Patriot and retire a New England Patriot, you know, had those hopes severely tampered on when he and Giselle announced that they were putting their house up for sale, I think 48 hours after that contract was announced. And he said publicly he knew right then that this was going to be his last year in New England.
Listen, here's a general rule in life. When somebody calls you and says, we need to talk, what doesn't follow is another 30 years of marriage or a 7-year contract extension. Okay? You're getting dumped. And however you want to receive it, you can. And let's be honest about this. Name all the rock and roll bands that have lasted over 25 years. The Stones and U2. That's about it. Metallica did a documentary, and it's riveting, on how much they hated each other. Ever watch VH1 Behind the Music? Not a lot of harmony with rock bands. It's hard. I mean, good God, forget dynasties. Teams that aren't even good have friction. I mean, the Philadelphia 76ers have had 5 years of friction. They're not good. The Brooklyn Nets, they're on the second year with all these stars. They've already got friction. Half the NFL's got friction and they stink. Can you imagine being great and not having friction? You know, they always say, like, you know, thinking you're right instead of being right is part of the problem. Because when you start getting caught up in thinking you're always right, that's the opposite of growth. Like, being vulnerable, being curious is how you keep being right. Once you start thinking you're always right, it ends being right, right? And so what happens is you make more money. Some of it's luck, some of it's serendipity, some of it's timing. But you start thinking you're brilliant because you're getting richer and you're winning a lot of games and people write articles and then you read them and we're all human beings, right? We all like the pat in the back. When you get them for 20 years, you start thinking, I'm right. You start wanting to be right. And that's the end of getting it right for most people. So, like, you know, let's not get too ethereal here, but, like, this stuff's hard. And it's really hard when everybody's simultaneously becoming a legend and getting rich. Friction is just part of life, especially when you get great and stay great for a long time.
A lot of great young quarterback talents. Very few are winning. Justin Herbert now has a winning record. We'll talk with his coach, his quarterback coach. That being Jordan Palmer plus Jason McIntyre today on a Friday. Good show. Moving fast.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Don't miss your chance to win $100,000 of Terry Bradshaw's money on the Fox Bet Super 6 app. Scan the QR code on the screen, download the app, and pick the outcomes of six NFL games for your shot at the cash. It's totally free to play. Colin, Panthers at Cowboys is one of the matchups. 57% of America is taking the Cowboys so far. Who wins and by how many points?
27-20 Cowboys. Sam Darnold's first and second half numbers are much different. He has not trailed in a game. He doesn't have Christian McCaffrey. And I think Dallas's defense is way better than the market is acknowledging. I think it's really fast. I think they found an elite corner. Maybe that could take DJ Moore out of that game a little bit. I think Dallas is better than we think. And I don't want to overreact to beating Philadelphia because Dak's 11-1 against the NFC East in his last 12. But I think Dallas' defense is real. It's a real defense. I don't know. I predicted they'd be a playoff team. I don't see them as a conference championship team, but I think they're better than we think. With that, Jordan Palmer, 6 years in the NFL, younger brother of Carson, founder of Quarterback Summit, a program that helps quarterbacks reach their potential. I think it's the best thing out there. And you've coached Trevor Lawrence and Sam Darnold and Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. And I'll go in reverse order. I want to start with Darnold this weekend. So when I looked at the numbers for that game, Sam's first halves have been exemplary. Second half, the numbers come down. My instincts are off when he's on script and the plays are designed, he's very comfortable. He, though, is still learning Matt Rule's system and Joe Brady's. Little less comfortable when you get off script a little bit later in games. What do you see with Darnold so far?
Well, I think when you put a quarterback, a franchise guy like Sam, in a new situation, new everything, right? New running back, new teammates, new offense, new city, new system. We talk a lot about a quarterback learning the system, but to be honest, the play caller needs to learn the quarterback. The receivers need to learn the quarterback. The O-line needs it, the entire system, everybody who plays a role in it is still 4 weeks into learning how to play together. And so, I'm not discounting first half versus second half numbers or, you know, breaking out a game into anything that specific. But the reality is they're a month into playing together. And they are learning how to play together well at a very, very quick pace, being undefeated right now. So I think as we see these next couple weeks, even playing without Christian McCaffrey and having to rely on other guys is going to actually kind of help expedite that process for this Carolina offense.
So Justin Herbert has the same teammates, mostly a better left tackle and center, but he's got a new coaching staff. He looked very good last weekend. How long does that generally take to integrate? New playbook, new system, live bullets. Let's talk about that, where the teammates are the same, but the playbook's new now.
Yeah, well, and it really comes down to how much newness is there, because there's certain situations where a team hires a new offensive coordinator and they start from scratch. And then there's situations, a lot of it, pretty common actually, where the new offensive coordinator comes in and adopts the old language and just says, hey, look, I'm just going to change maybe fundamentally how we approach this, but I don't want everyone to learn new things. And so I think they're kind of right down the middle with this Chargers offense. But what they have is, you know, one of the most talented players in the NFL in Justin Herbert, a guy who can understand quick game, understands RPO from all his time at Oregon running that type of system, and then has shown that he can learn at a pretty quick clip the play action side of things, how to be able to push that pocket, get outside the pocket, and, you know, give put the ball in his playmaker's hands. And he's just, each week is just continuing to make highlight plays.
Well, you were one of the first to deal with Josh Allen. So you knew Josh before we knew Josh. You knew the Wyoming Josh and the young Josh. And he had accuracy issues. Then he got great. First couple weeks this year, accuracy dipped a little. Then last week, it's back to being what we saw last year. Were you concerned at all with Josh in the first couple weeks? The accuracy eroded a little. What did that say to you? Now, he regained it, but what did that say to you, Jordan?
Well, I think it speaks more to expectations and even just what those are. One, expectations in the locker room, expectations from the media, expectations from the fan base, and how that trickles down. The expectations were to pick up exactly where they left off. And it often is with champions, right? Or people who are close to a championship. But where they left off is they had been playing football together every single day for months.
Right.
And then you go into training camp and then so the idea of picking up exactly where you left off, I think, is usually really difficult for teams, especially when they have that high of expectations. To be honest, I thought the week one loss was helpful for them. It kind of, you know, when you have a loss like that, it can have everybody go, all right, cool. Let's just focus in right now. That was a little bit humbling. It was a little eye opening, but we don't need to change or panic or do anything. Look, this Bills offense and defense is improved from last year.
Yes.
They've added pass rushers. They've added Emmanuel Sanders. They've added pieces. This team will be better than last year's team. And so a slow start really speaks more to our expectations of them than it does raising any red flags for this team. Buffalo is going to be in this in the end.
Yeah. Now I want to talk about Dak, because I said in basketball and soccer this week, you could spot talent immediately. I could walk by a basketball court and see a kid doing windmill dunks with great handles and go, that's an elite player. But you can't throw to yourself as a quarterback or block air in the park as a left tackle. And so you can grow into greatness, I believe, in football more than other sports, where coaching, Brady, leadership, guile, stuff that I can't see really early on. And I did say Dak is really in control. He's really in control. Doesn't put it in bad spots. Knows when to kill a play. What do you see with Dak, who I was a little lukewarm on for years, but something's clicked. He just feels really comfortable to me.
Well, I go back to some comments that you made probably a year ago before he signed his contract. And you had said that being the Dallas Cowboys quarterback is different than being the quarterback on other teams. It's a Laker. It's a Yankee. I thought you were spot on with that. And before we talk about accuracy or anything with Dak Prescott, since day one, this guy has handled that star in his helmet as well as you can possibly expect a young man to handle it. Off the field, interviews, the adversity he's been through, the injury he's been through. So one, he's put himself in position A, 320 yards down the middle, sitting lightly on even ground in the fairway, just on how he carries himself and works. But I think these last few years, he's evolved into one of the best passers in this league. He controls the ball, tempo, accuracy. He's athletic and mobile enough, even with the injury, to extend the play and create time and space, which is really what mobile quarterbacks should be able to do, create time and space. He can do all of those things. And then there's a person that no one talks about enough, and his offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore. I mean, how good is he using these pieces right now and filling in for when they are out a guy and, you know, keeping two backs happy? And so there's just a lot of things that are working really well for Dallas. And we haven't been able to say that for a long time, but I love talking about the Cowboys being good. I think it's good for football.
All right, let's go to last night. Inverse order. Now we go to the game last night. You love Joe Burrow. You saw him before, you know, you were teaching him and you kept telling me, Colin, it's going to be great in the NFL. I think he's so comfortable. Joe Montana, like cool, comfortable, just kind of the game. Not that it's easy, because Herbert makes it look so easy, but there's just something about when I watch Burrow, I think he's in total control. Total control of the game. He's totally comfortable playing with confidence, but not too much. What do you see this year to last?
I see the same thing. Let's go back a year, okay? So last offseason, we're going through draft training. COVID becomes a real thing. Everything, you know, nobody knows what's going on, gets shut down, all that stuff. He goes back to Ohio and works out on his own and gets ready for it. And the entire NFL offseason last year, going into his rookie year, was conducted on Zoom. And I had heard this multiple times that he kind of, through that process, kind of like the veterans got it. They're like, okay, this is the real guy. We got it. And he kind of like, you know, made his presence felt and assumed the leadership position on that team via Zoom. So this is a guy who goes, I don't care what the circumstances are. If I have to transfer to a new school, if I have to start as a rookie right away with no offseason and it's conducted on Zoom, I just see this guy over and over and over again. Every situation he's put in, he's completely under control and he's comfortable. And all these situations just make sense to him. Being down, new situation, all that. He just never looks rattled, which is why you say he looks under control. And he just is, he's just comfortable and yeah. This all makes sense to him. And for me, I think the great ones don't get behind successful attributes as much as they get behind successful behaviors. And for me, this dude has very successful behaviors, and him handling these situations the way he does is starting to become a pattern.
Yeah. Finally, Trevor Lawrence. No interceptions last night. Boy, you know, we know he's, for a 6'6 kid, he's slippery. He made linebackers miss in space. What do you make of what you saw last night?
I loved it. Jacksonville just needs to continue to stack the short week of preparation they had to be able to play that well on offense and defense, by the way. And then to put that product on the field last night, and, you know, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. But they just need to continue to do that each week. And they've got injuries, and they have they're starting at the bottom here roster-wise this year. You know, they really are building this thing. And so with Trevor, this is not about touchdowns or interceptions or yards, or I just personally could care less how this season ends for him statistically, whether that's great or terrible. What I care about is for these young quarterbacks are these guys making the same mistakes over and over again? One. Two, are they developing their understanding of the game? Is their situational awareness increasing each week? And then three, are they continuing to figure out to have an issue and solve it? Have an issue and solve it. When young guys can do those three things, regardless of how the season goes, they set themselves up for success. And then that GM, that head coach, they'll build around this guy. Look, Trevor Lawrence is going to be a star in this league for a long time. Whatever many touchdowns or interceptions he throws this year are irrelevant. He's doing all three of those things, in my opinion, very, very well. He's progressing each week, and last night was not a fluke. We're going to continue to see him and the Jaguars play good football.
Jordan Palmer, Quarterback Summit. So great seeing you. All your guys are playing now. Some are starting to really flourish. Have a great weekend, bud.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Yeah, he's the one that tells us. He'll tell us before. Inside information.
Oh, he always has scoops.
Oh, he's got he and TJ Hushmanzada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they work with these guys.
That's right.
On a very, personal level and get to know them. So they see all the intangibles and tangibles.
Getting nothing but insight, content, and journalism on this show. McIntyre's around the corner pretty soon here. First, Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Colin, you are very high on the 3-0 Broncos.
I am.
They haven't exactly faced the toughest opponents yet.
They had weak, very weak, yes.
But Von Miller knows that this weekend's game against the Ravens is their opportunity to prove themselves as a team.
It's really like a playoff game early in the season. You know, and it's a lot of these guys haven't even played in a playoff game before. And, you know, it's kind of been my message to these guys, like, you know, this is a playoff game early in the season. This is time for us to, you know, show what we got against a worthy opponent. And, you know, that's where our focus has been. You know, they're a unique team. You know, they have a unique style, you know, a very effective style. But it is unique, and it's led by Lamar Jackson.
Now, Lamar has missed practice the last 2 days with a sore back. He was a full participant today, according to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport. Broncos have beaten the Giants, Jacksonville, and the Jets, who are all winless at this point.
Yeah.
And they are in Denver, 1-point underdogs to the Ravens. I agree with him. I agree with Vaughn. I do feel like this is a game, you know, you are very high on the Broncos. They are doing a lot of things well. but they have beaten, and you have to beat the teams you play.
That's right.
So, like, you beat your opponents.
But they've beaten them badly.
But they've beaten them badly, and this is a real test, because the Ravens are a real team, even with Lamar Jackson not 100% healthy and the injuries that they have. This beating the Ravens, to me, will be like, okay, this is a real thing. You're not just beating up on inferior opponents. So I'm looking forward to this game. I'm taking the Broncos as well.
I think when you go 4-0, at that point we have to acknowledge they're better than we thought they were. And by the way,
they're already better than I thought they were. But to be a legitimate to be legitimately in the running for the playoffs and at this point for the division, you need to beat a really good team.
One of their issues last year, they were soft at corner. They went and got a Pro Bowl corner and aced their first round pick corner. Yes. So it's like, and that was always Rex Ryan's secret. We can make fun of Rex Ryan, but his secret was, if I got good corners, Belichick has this. I got good corners, I got a lot of freedom what I can do with the rest of my defense.
Yeah.
Denver's got elite corners. That gives Fangio a lot of freedom. Blitzing, bringing people, different defense. If I can lock your guys out on those islands, I got 9 other guys I can play with. And Denver right now can lock you out on the corners.
So in his 10th NFL season, Russell Wilson has never lost 3 games in a row.
Oh, my. I didn't know that.
Pretty impressive. But they're on a 2-game losing streak.
Yeah.
And they had to play the Niners this weekend. And it very possibly could happen. And he was asked about this yesterday.
Yeah.
Russ, you've never lost 3 in a row. I'm sure you know that. What do you attribute that to?
Not thinking about losing 3 in a row. You know, you got to keep your mind right. You got to keep your language right. And I think, you know, and I always tell you guys, I got to remain neutral. You know, it's supposed to be a challenge. And I always, like I said, I know every year there's always going to be challenges that you're going to face. And this is what it is.
He also said they need to stay the course and not panic. They've blown double-digit leads in 2 straight games. So not a reason to panic, but there is something going on here, and this is not going to be an easy game for them.
They're getting crushed, Joy, in time of possession. Like, literally, 36-24. Like, it's not close. They don't have the ball for about 65% of the game.
They're currently 3-point underdogs to the Niners, and that's going to be...
I'd probably take Seattle. I stayed away. These divisional games...
The divisional games are tough. This is sort of a must-win game for Seattle already.
Oh, yeah. And divisional games are weird. They're always like, I mean, if you look this week, I went Denver-Baltimore, not a divisional game. The only, you know, Dallas and Carolina, not a divisional game.
Do you have any divisional games?
I have the Chargers-Raiders, and the reason I took it is because I think it's going to be like 45-40, and so 3.5 points. Because I think it's going to be a wild shootout. It's going to be one of the best be-at-the-game games of the year.
Well, last year the Seahawks started 5-0 and finished 12-4 and won the NFC West. So we know what that division is. You don't want to start the way that they're starting. So they know the urgency of this game and how important it is. I'm with Russell Wilson. I agree with him. You have to stay. He, of all players, has to stay neutral, and he's very good at that. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. Most great players do stay in that space where, like, look, you know what's at stake, but let's not cause panic. Let's not, you know, have a sense of urgency, but know what we are. That's a big game for them this weekend. So Tom Brady and Mac Jones will set an NFL record on Sunday. They have the largest age gap between 2 starting quarterbacks in any game in NFL history. Brady turned 44 on August 3rd. Mac Jones, Mac and Cheese, turned 23 on September 5th. So he is 21 years older. 21 years, 1 month, and 2 days older than Mac Jones. Actually, Mac Jones was born on the day of Brady's first college start at Michigan.
Wow. Quite a gap.
It's incredible. I actually, you know, we're always obviously talking about Bill Belichick and Tom Brady returning. I wondered the emotions of Mac Jones in this game on Sunday.
Yeah, I would be
nervous. A
young
guy, the legend, not just any legend.
You're playing in his joint.
Is coming back.
To your,
you're in his shoes.
Yeah, I'd be nervous. I would be.
It's
I'd
a
be
lot.
Nervous. It's a ton.
It's a lot. And not that, you know, there's massive expectations for him in this game, but, you know, if anyone's going to be nervous, I think that Tom's going to have a little more emotions than everyone is giving to him.
Yeah.
Like, this is a big deal. But yeah, Max never been. I mean, this is an unprecedented situation to begin with.
It's good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
You know, I was thinking about this with Urban Meyer.
you know, we watched last night. So everybody beat him up for drafting a running back who Travis Etienne was like the highest or second highest rated running back. And they've already got James Robinson. But here's the good news. They're going to have the first or second pick next year. Now think about this. So Urban now has his running back set, his wide receivers, and his quarterback set. He can go all line and defense. They don't have to worry about a running back. They've got to. The receivers are good. Trevor's good. And they're going to have the number one pick, and it's a quarterback, Spencer Rattler. Jacksonville is going to very easily be able to get multiple picks for that number one pick. They can just go, you want Spencer Rattler? Give me your offers. And he has doesn't have to worry about his quarterback, his receivers, or his backs. Which is, by the way, in 2021, that's what you need to win. You don't, can't win with defense. You got to have a player. Rams defense was number one last year. They won one playoff game. So if you're looking at the macro level, and Urban Meyer, most smart people look a year out from where they're at. Urban's thing is, this is by, you know, we're not going to draft at this space. This is the guy I like. I like this running back. I recruited him out of college at Ohio State. I got a bull in Robinson. He's a pass-catching running back. They're going to be able, if they have the number one pick, to get 3 to 4 picks for that pick. Move down to the 7, 8, 9 spot, get an elite player and multiple picks. And he, so in an offensive league, the offensive stuff is all set for Urban as he goes into year two. Just saying. That's what Matt Rhule did. First draft, he went all defense. Then he just had to get a quarterback. Now, because he already had the offensive pieces. Mm-hmm. So the gloomy, the great point by Jordan Palmer. Short week on the road. Jacksonville played well. There's no.
No, said, I think that they could, should walk away from that game feeling good.
So I'm the same
way. You want to see progress.
Short week on the road.
Yeah. Sure Urban's extremely frustrated, which is understandable, but you got to take some good from what you saw from Jacksonville last night.
Yeah.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Simply Safe Big News launched their new wireless outdoor security camera. 20% off now, simplysafecolin.com. His name is Jason McIntyre. Got a podcast, Straight Fire with McIntyre. It's awesome. Week 4, excellent matchup. Some teams may go 0-4, meaning their GMs are saying, should we get rid of people, get draft picks? Good teams may be looking to improve. Are you ready to go?
I'm excellent. I'm feeling great. I think I like this week more than any other week in the league so far.
All right, so it's called Tomorrow's Headlines Today. Lions, Bears, what's the headline Monday?
Obviously, the big news that's just breaking right now, it could be Fields, could be Andy Dalton. The headline from Bears, Lions will be, in the jungle, the Lions sleep tonight. I love the Bears here, Colin. I know nobody's saying that, but Colin, we've done gambling stuff together for a few years now, and one of the big red flags is there a public underdog that's on the board? And everybody's back in the Detroit Lions. They just saw them nearly beat the Ravens. And the Bears are just a total catastrophe. Nagy's in trouble. They don't have a quarterback. Is it Fields? Is it Dalton? I think the Bears dominate this game, Colin. I know it's a divisional matchup. Be careful. But again, we're talking about the Bears losing to the Browns, who are one of the five best teams in the league, and the Rams. What happened when they stepped down and faced the Bengals? They were up 17-0 in the fourth quarter. Like, the Lions stink. People need to get this through their head. Yes, Swift looks good, and Campbell's, like, got them fighting and feisty, but this is a great spot for the Bears. I think they handled Detroit easily.
All right, tomorrow's headlines today. What's it going to be for Titans at the Jets?
So we haven't really done a lot of Jets here.
No, okay? We haven't.
But you and I both are in lockstep. I think here the headline will be Jets get exact. Lee, what they need. I love the Jets, Colin.
So do the Sharps.
Jets on the money line.
Yeah.
So on my podcast Monday morning, I said, how are the Jets 9-point underdogs to the Titans? This line has come all the way down, and now with the news in the last hour that Julio Jones and A.J. Brown are out, who's Tannehill throwing to? I love the Jets here. I think you take them getting the points on the money line. And let's remember, Zach Wilson, who people want to laugh at, he stinks, 7 interceptions. He faced the Panthers, whose defense is incredible so far. He faced Belichick, who eats rookie quarterbacks for lunch. And then last week, he had to go to Denver and face undefeated Broncos, who have a good defense. So Wilson is going to have a walk in the park against a joke of a Titans defense. They are terrible defensively. He's going to have time to throw Corey Davis a big game. Jets win this outright, Colin. Remember, we called Chargers over Chiefs last week. A lot of doubters. I love the Jets here.
I don't think you're crazy.
Well, I'm not crazy. You know that.
Well, I'm interested for this next headline. Ooh, tomorrow's headlines today. I'm interested because I'm going against all the wise guys. Panthers at the Cowboys.
boy, this is a tough one. Dallas ascending. You would agree with that,
I
right?
think their defense is significantly faster and more athletic than last year.
The headline will be, Dak refuses to follow the rules. A little play on Matt Rule, the coach of the Panthers. Colin, if I were a gambler, you know, I would consider putting some money on Dak Prescott to win the MVP this year. If you look at the schedule, it is shaping up really well for the Cowboys. They have a win over Justin Herbert, okay? They're going to go to 3-1 when they beat Carolina. I just want to point out, Carolina has faced a rookie quarterback in Zach Wilson, Jameis Winston, who we both think is kind of
They've never trailed.
Yeah, and then last week they faced another rookie quarterback. They're just dominating people. And I look at this Cowboys team. I think they're going to move the ball easily against a secondary that's I like Dallas here to win, and I'm just telling you, right, they're going to run away with this division, Colin. Even if you guys don't like Jerry Jones or McCarthy or Quinn, Dak Prescott is on point this year. He looks phenomenal. I like Dallas here.
Okay, huge game out west. Tomorrow's headlines today, Seahawks at the 49ers. You know, Russell Wilson's never lost three straight games.
I heard Joey's good stat a couple minutes ago. The headline will be, Russ Cooks, for Pete's sake. Give me Seattle. I this is a risky one. Of these six games we're going to talk about.
I think you're right.
You just look at the numbers. You know, Seattle leads the NFL in yards per play.
Yeah.
Their offense is a machine. And before week one on this show, we talked about their new OC, Waldron, came over from the Rams. He's killing it in the first half. The problem is in the second half, he's not really coaching aggressively, and they've been destroyed. Defensively, they can't stop anybody. That Jamal Adams trade looking even better for the day by the Jets. But I do think Seattle gets by here, but I think we would agree, Colin, the loser of this game is going to have a panicked fan base because the 49ers will have lost two in a row. Seattle at 1-3, and we know the Cardinals and the Rams are good. I think Seattle wins this, but by the way, Russ does own the Niners. 12-2 straight up in his last 14 against San Fran.
I didn't take this because it's a rival game. There's intensity, but I think you're on the right side.
I don't know that I would go this heavy, you know, unlike the Jets game or maybe another one we'll talk about, but I do think Seattle wins this one.
All right, tomorrow's headlines today, Arizona at the Rams. I'm interested for this, McIntyre.
You know, listen, everybody's talking about Sunday night, but I think this is the best game of the day. Two undefeated teams in the best division in football. The headline will be Cardinals have that Kyler instinct. Kyler Murray, Colin, are you feeling it? I think the Cardinals pull this off. I know McVay has owned Kingsbury 4-0, 3-0-1 against the spread. But this is a healthy Kyler Murray. This is an offense that's really cooking right now.
Fun.
And I just, the Rams were hitting on all cylinders against Tampa. I
saw
a crazy stat.
They played perfect football.
McVay only had 3 play-action dropbacks last week for his quarterback. 3. That's all Goff did last year. They're changed so dramatically. The Rams are tough, a tough handicap. I have not hit them well this year because I think they're better than advertised offensively. I think last team with the ball here wins, and I trust Kyler Murray. I don't know about Kingsbury, but they looked last week like they were looking forward to this game, right?
I said to a friend, the Rams played a perfect football game. They had one penalty. I don't think you can win and then win a big game and come back, but to play perfect back-to-back weeks. And by the way, Kyler and Arizona in the rebuilding mode have given Seattle, the Rams, and the Niners close games.
I will point out that last week the Bucs could not run the football. Tom Brady led them in rushing. The Cardinals have a good running attack led by this guy you see scooting around on the screen. So I like the Cardinals. Again, not a heavy play, but I do like them to beat the Rams.
Tomorrow's headlines today. What's the headline going to be Monday for Bucs at Patriots, Tom?
Have you heard some of these stories about how the money is just so overwhelming on one side in this one? Colin, it's crazy. The headline will be, Brady wins homecoming king. Tampa Bay comes in. Listen, I know it's a chalky pick. I don't see how Tom Brady loses this game. All offseason, I know there was talk, hey, we won the Super Bowl. He's got to care about this game more than anything. And I don't want to be a narrative guy, but Colin, you know, he broke up with Belichick over the phone after spending 2 decades with him. I'm sure you heard about the Howard Stern interview where Brady said, he just called Belichick and told him it's over. I think, you know, the fans in New England will probably by the end of this game be booing Belichick because I got a feeling this could get away from Bill. I don't know how there's a path to victory for Mac Jones against this Bucs defense. I don't see it.
You know, to beat Tampa, you have to do what the Rams do. You gotta go over the top on them a little bit because the weakness is their corners. Well, New England's one of the think it's one of the weakest wide receiving cores in the league last 2 years.
And no James White coming out of the backfield, who's like the ultimate safety valve. I just, you know, the Patriots, I thought they'd be a playoff team this year. If they lose this and fall to 1-3, you got to just wonder where Belichick's head is at. Like, you know, I lost Brady. He wins a Super Bowl. I'm going no playoffs with Cam. I'm struggling with the rookie.
I said this. We have a new segment on the show called I'm Just Saying. It's no sources, no journalism. The one thing in the Seth Wickersham book that was so personal to me is Kraft calling Belichick an awful human. Belichick has bailed on two other owners. Like, I thought to myself, if Urban leaves, where's Bill get a house at? And by the way, now I've got my great... Now, I'm not saying Urban's going to leave. I'm saying, no, I don't think he's going to. But I'm just saying...
I'm just saying. I like that saying. Okay.
I'm just saying it's a thought exercise.
Yeah.
It's not nuts, right?
But I don't think it's insane. I mean, you've had some insane takes this week, but we would agree, right?
Okay. Say what you want. Short week on the road, rookie quarterback. I thought Jacksonville was okay last night.
They were great last night. They should have won the game.
I know.
Urban, we can admit, Urban coached scared in the fourth quarter. You're at midfield with 5 minutes left and you're punting when your defense hasn't stopped Joe Burrow in the second half. He went touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Why are you punting the ball back?
Well, it's
they have no edge rusher. They got to get your kid from Oregon in the first round.
They
next
are.
Year. Yeah, that's a lot.
Thibodeau.
Jacksonville's not dead. And by the way, they get the Titans next week. If they can somehow win that game, I bet on the Jags to win.
Perform at your best with M-Drive, the supplement for driven men. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Or go to mdriveformen.com, mdriveformen.com, Walgreens, Rite Aid, Vitamin Shop has it too. For Joy, Ryan, Jason, everybody. Fun week. Not easy. Always a challenge here. It's the Herd in L.A.
I'm just saying. I like that.
Yeah, I said that I don't think Urban's leaving. But if he did. Belichick's like, hey, Mac Jones, I can't win with this shit.
Yeah.
I couldn't win with Cam.
And he's, what, 71?
Huh?